Nice to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. And we're going to be dealing with aches and pains and sprains and strains on the Ideas Network today with our two guests. Our producer isn't here right now, so we can't take calls yet, but we will hopefully soon be able to take some calls. Somebody will come and save us. I thought she was here, but she's not. So we'll hold off on the calls for a few minutes, and maybe I can track somebody down one way or another. If not, we'll be doing a whole lot of talking.
We'll talk about our aches and pains.
Exactly. You know, we got enough to go around, probably fill the whole hour. It'll be 30 minutes for each of us.
Oh, my goodness me.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I tell you what. My pains, this pneumonia business has slowed me down, so I don't have the normal aches and pains that I normally have, because I haven't been biking or haven't been doing those things that I normally do.
But when you get back to that, you know, when you're feeling a little better, you might be surprised at the hole that you are in when you start doing some of that activity. So if you've been sick, and for example, the one of the staff at our clinic, I just got an email, is down with salmonella.
Right.
And she broke her foot last week. She said, talk about a bad summer. So, you know, she's beside herself and trying to get back to stuff. And so when you come back from something like that, it's amazing how low your physical capacity is and how you have to work back into things slowly. Yeah. You can't just jump in where you left off before you got sick. You have to take a few days to get yourself back in and warmed up.
And that endurance level can take quite a while to get back just with the normal daily activities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I'll be playing a little golf tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I'm taking a day off tomorrow, and I'll be playing some golf, and so I'm looking forward to that. But probably be riding, which is almost no exercise at all.
Yeah, right. Very little.
Oh, my goodness me.
Yeah.
Well, I think we almost have. Let me give the number now. If you'd like to join in, I believe we'll have someone to help with the phones here at 1-800-642-1234, or in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, and you can email us too at talk@wpr.org, and we are ready to go. Mike in Appleton is up, as a matter of fact, so let's go to Mike. Hi, Mike.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. What can we do for you?
Yeah, it took some doing to get through, but I finally did. I have a lot of pain in my legs and feet, like in the heels, and this is something that has cropped up, I'd say, in the last 5 or 6 months. I do a lot of walking, probably 4 or 5 miles a day, because of my work, always on cement floors. I went to see, I don't know what you would call it, a cobbler, a shoe person.
A cobbler.
Who sold me some orthopedic shoes with some insoles, and then he's been, like, changing the shape of the insole.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have enough support.
Mm-hmm.
And while that's helped, at the end of the day, you know, Even sometimes when I lie down in bed at the end of the day, the pain is just incredible. And when I get up in the morning, the first few steps are just, wow.
Is that pain mostly in your feet, or is it go up and down your legs? Can you just...
It kind of varies. I would say it's all the time in the feet, especially in the heel area.
Okay.
It's just on the right foot.
Okay.
And the pain in the legs... you know, sometimes I have it, sometimes I don't.
Is that in your shins or up in your thighs when you say legs?
From the knee down.
From the knee down. Okay. All right. Well, that localizes things a little better and kind of pulls things together into a pattern. The pain in your feet and your heels is most likely plantar fasciitis. The classic is that those first few steps out of bed in the morning are just killer. And what happens is the plantar fascia is a thick band of tissue on the bottom of your foot that supports your arch. And it attaches right back at your heel in a very small spot. So what happens is you tend to get fairly pinpoint sharp pain in your heel. And during the night when you sleep, our feet tend to be pointed down. So that plantar fascia shortens during the night. And then when you step down on it, you stretch it abruptly in the first step in the morning, and it hurts like mad. So getting appropriate shoe wear and getting someone to get you an arch support and fussing with it to match your foot is a good idea. Other things that you can do include a night splint. And you can get those online. If you Google night splints or plantar fasciitis, you'll come up with a bunch of different options. And what it does is it's a little splint that holds your foot up during the night and gives it a nice prolonged stretch. That really helps people a lot. And from the patients we've seen and from the people we've queried over the radio, it takes a couple months before you notice kind of long-term benefits from that. But it really can be helpful. A visit to a physical therapist for an evaluation of your leg posture, your foot posture, to talk about. They may have some suggestions about the orthotics relative to your foot posture. They may also have some suggestions about other kinds of shoe wear, strengthening exercises, specific stretching exercise for your plantar fascia. All can help.
Yeah. Good luck.
You know, Mike brings up a point about walking on these cement floors, mm-hmm. and that certainly isn't directly tied to plantar fasciitis necessarily, but I've worked with a lot of people over the years working in schools, factories, malls, where they're on these hard tile floors, basically cement floors, for hour after hour after hour. And sometimes just putting a cushion inside your shoe, whether it's something, a pad or a sorbitane material, mm-hmm. can make a huge difference in how the feet and legs feel at the end of the day.
Right.
Now, there's other types of foot conditions, and plantar fasciitis is an example where you may want more of a specific orthotic if that's the underlying cause of your fasciitis. But sometimes just the cushion, people on their feet on hard floors all day, can make a big difference.
Right, mm-hmm. and you can get those at any drugstore.
Yeah.
Good luck. Thanks very much for calling, Mike. Appreciate it. Jim in Greenwood, it's your turn now. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got a sore upper left arm and shoulder. I'm right-handed, but it's been that way since, I don't know, somewhere back in January, February, something like that. And I thought it was just a shoulder, but sometimes it is a sharp pain right at the top of my shoulder. But more often, when I raise my arm up over my head, it's my upper arm that has pain, and or if I'm sitting slightly leaning on my elbow, mm-hmm. I get pain in the outside of my upper arm,
yep.
and it kind of radiates down to sort of the inside of my lower arm, right below my elbow there, and it's kind of a dull pain, or you know, if I'm reading mm-hmm. newspaper, just holding it, sometimes I'm just not doing much of anything, and mm-hmm. it hurts, but it doesn't hurt all the time. But I'm not sure. It just doesn't want to go away, and I'm not sure how I'm aggravating or what it is I'm aggravating.
Can you think of anything that you did in January or February, any kind of physical thing that you did, a lot of maybe snow shoveling?
Yeah, it might have been related to my snowblower.
Okay. And are you getting any numbness or tingling or anything like that associated with it?
No.
Okay. Well, it sounds like sort of a classic rotator cuff pattern of pain.
Okay.
And the rotator cuff, the tendon for that, sits in a fairly small space on top of your shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And when it refers pain, it generally refers pain down the outside of your arm, kind of to where your deltoid inserts in that kind
okay.
of little dimple on the outside of your arm. And it
uh-huh.
tends to be a dull, achy, toothachy
right.
kind of pain.
Exactly what it is.
Yeah, and then when you rest your elbow, when it kind of, if it pushes up at all,
uh-huh.
it kind of pushes that and it narrows that gap even more.
Uh-huh.
But the flip side of that is when your arm hangs down, it also puts traction on it, so that tends to aggravate it too. And this is very responsive to a good physical therapy rehabilitation program directed at your rotator cuff. So if it was going to get better on its own, it would have by now.
Okay.
And the longer you wait, the harder it gets to treat because it kind of sets in, so to speak.
Okay.
So it'd be in your best interest to go see a physical therapist sooner rather than later and get set up on a good rotator cuff rehab program. But sometimes it takes a couple visits to sort out the right kind of exercises for your shoulder, given your anatomy and so on, and your work habits and activities.
Mm-hmm.
But it should resolve with a good focus program.
Good luck.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Joe in Oconomowoc, we'll turn to you now. Hi, Joe.
Good morning.
Morning.
How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling. What can we do for you?
Great. I have a problem that developed in my arch on my left foot. I'm pretty active, 55-year-old lady who plays tennis 3 times a week, and I garden. And I'm loving wearing those new kind of plastic molded shoes. I don't know if you can say them over the air, but...
Sure.
The Crocs.
Crocs, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But about 10 days ago, I played Extreme Frisbee with youthful people and tried to keep up, and then I played sand volleyball, and my arch hurts a lot. I can still play tennis, and when I wear my Crocs, it feels wonderful. That kind of relieves it. But the minute I'm out of them or in a flatter shoe, I have pain. Is there an exercise that I could do or... something that I could do to relieve that arch pain? It actually radiates more towards the back, but not in the heel area. It's mostly in the arch.
In the arch itself, and mm-hmm. going sort of the long way in your foot or crossways on your foot?
No, the long way.
The long way?
Mm-hmm. On the instep more than the outer part.
Well, you may have just had a strain of, there's a bunch of little muscles in your foot. If you had a sudden landing, you were playing volleyball, you're spending a lot of time on your toes. I don't know what shoes you were wearing.
No, I was barefoot when
you were
barefoot.
Dear. Yeah. Yeah. Well, there you have it.
Okay.
Yeah. Your arch wasn't sufficiently supported and you have strained or sprained some of the soft tissue on the bottom of your foot. So you need to essentially rest that. And that means wearing a shoe with a good arch support that supports your arch and being in that most of the day. I know the Crocs feel good. I'm a little borderline on how good they are for your feet. They feel soft and cushy, but I don't know that they have that great a shock absorption.
Okay.
So try a shoe with a good arch support, or go out to the drugstore or a sporting goods store and get a fairly decent arch support and put that in your shoes and wear that. In the meantime, do some arch strengthening. That means things like picking up marbles or pencils with your toes. If you sit on a tile floor and put your heels on the floor and put your feet on a towel and scrunch up the towel with your toes, pull it back. And if it gets easy, you can put a little weight on top of that towel and pull it back. Those are good arch strengthening exercises.
Okay,
and in the meantime, I'm sorry?
That sounds great. Helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. So try some of those things and give it a little bit of time to heal.
Okay. And at night, you know, when you're, of course, I was just listening to the other man with the heel problem.
Right.
It does feel better when it's, you know, pronated back. Is there like a pillow I should prop up with that, or
you mean when your foot is pulled up?
Yes.
Yeah.
That feels better. That relieves it.
Yeah. I mean, pillows don't work so well, a night splint's probably the best thing.
Okay. Yep.
For that,
Joe.
All right. Thank you very much.
One other thing for Joe. It doesn't sound like he has an acute injury at all. The fact she can play tennis and she can turn the pain off. One of the ways to work the arch of the foot, kind of a combination of massage and ice, if that area is bothering her, you just take a soda bottle, fill it with water, put it in the freezer, and then you take it out and you lay it on the floor, and then you can roll your foot back and forth on top of that bottle. And so it's a good way to get some cold to that area and massage that area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good points. Thanks again, Joe, for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. We're talking physical therapy today with Lori Tyne Brody and Bill Blaisenault. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Lots of callers online with physical therapy issues, so let's go right back to the phones. And Casey in Madison, you are up. Hi, Casey.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Great. I have a question about some inflamed cartilage I have in my chest.
Okay.
About a couple months ago this summer, I started weightlifting on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed about a month after I started weightlifting, I was starting to get some pain just to the right of my sternum and my chest.
Mm-hmm.
I went into my doctor, and after doing an examination, he decided that it was some inflamed cartilage that was connecting my sternum to my rib.
Mm-hmm.
And so he put me on this regimen of, for 2 weeks, taking like 3 ibuprofen 3 times a day with meals, and trying to, obviously, you know, cutting out the weightlifting and any sort of upper body work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tried that, and after 2 weeks, I was at the same level I was at before, and things really weren't getting better. And I guess my job right now in the summer for the next few weeks will be sort of a lot of upper body. I'm working with at-risk youth in this sort of outdoors program, so it's kind of hard for me to cut down on the work.
Right.
So I'm just wondering if there's any other things I can do to help it.
So is it your sense that have you still been this physically active through the course of the treatment that the physician recommended?
Yeah, I mean, I've cut out, like I said, I cut out the weightlifting altogether, and you know, I play some frisbee and a few other things, but I've definitely tried to lower the upper body stuff I do.
And it's still bothering you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I think some specific strengthening exercises for your upper body combined with some core strengthening may help with that. You know, I think in the meantime, you're going to be in a situation where you kind of have to get through the summer because
right.
you have to do what you have to do for your job. There are some taping techniques that you could think about trying if you saw a physical therapist who specializes in that area in sports and so on. They might be able to try some taping techniques to help
okay.
that. Or I don't know, Bill, if you have any other ideas.
Yeah, there's a rib binder.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
an elastic Velcro strap that you can put around your chest wall. I know I used it a few years ago when I cracked a couple ribs. And especially for some of the upcoming summer job things you have, it can help prevent irritating that area even more. And maybe it's like taping an ankle or, you know, using a crutch for a week or so on, mm-hmm. on a badly sprained ankle. You get those at most any drugstore. It doesn't have to be cinched up as, you know, super tight, but just enough so it's snug. It'll make it a little difficult for you to take a deep breath and do anything high exertion, but it will help protect that area.
And yeah. what's that called, a rib?
A binder, B-I-N-D-E-R. It's a Velcro, basically a Velcro elastic strap. Pretty thick, maybe mm-hmm. 6 to 8 inches in height.
Yeah, and a sporting goods store.
Yeah.
Try
yes.
that. It's usually yeah. around football kinds of equipment. But check it, make a phone call, check at a sporting goods store. Then the other question, sort of once you get through this summer and the things that you have to do, is figuring out what went wrong in your weight training program to get this stirred up, and how you're going to prevent that from coming back when you start back again.
Right.
So, again, a trip to a physical therapist to look at your technique, to look at your weight training program and what you did and how you did it. There's a bunch of small muscles that attach in there. You could have an inflammation of one of the tendons where they attach to the bone. So getting, you know, a clear differential diagnosis and then setting you off on the right course to get back to your strengthening program would be a good idea.
And then what about any sort of, like, massaging? Would that help at all?
It may. It depends upon the source of the problem.
Okay.
You know, potentially not for cartilage, but if it's a tendinous attachment, yeah, some cross-friction massage localized right in the area can be beneficial.
Yeah, you would know within a visit or two, Casey. It sounds like you're describing costochondritis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, that's the technical term. I forgot it.
Right. And so some of the soreness may be secondary to some muscles if it is, in fact, the joint. So a massage probably can't hurt. If it's going to help, you'll know within a couple visits. But if you view this as kind of a badly sprained ankle, you need to protect that area, need to keep moving, stay active, but protect that area to facilitate the recovery process. And then the exercises Lori describes would be really good for you to help speed up that process and help keep this from coming back again.
Okay. And then last question, with should I keep up with the ibuprofen or hold on that?
If it doesn't seem to be decreasing your symptoms, then I wouldn't bother.
Okay.
So if it hasn't any, if it's not having any impact on your symptoms after this amount of time, then I don't see that that's helping you at all.
All right.
Okay. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, thanks, Casey, for calling. Appreciate it. And on to Frankie in West Salem. Hi, Frankie.
Hello.
What can we do for you?
I have an Achilles tendon problem in my left leg, and I wondered, it causes me to limp. It's been there about 2 months. I've been doing some ibuprofen. I have tried to heat soak it most mornings. And in the evening, if it hurts, I put ice on it. Is there anything I should be doing? Should I be wrapping it, or what would help?
Did you have an acute injury, or it just came on as an overuse?
It just seemed to come.
Yeah. There are a number of things that you can be doing. First of all, a heel lift in that shoe is a fairly simple thing to do. But in the bigger picture, Achilles tendon problems, like patellar tendons, are very difficult to treat because you use them every step of the day, and going up and down stairs is especially hard on them. So they're really hard to get over. And the longer the inflammation stays there, the harder it is to get rid of and the more likely it is to come back. So it's really in your best interest to go in and have someone set up a program for you and monitor it and help you get through this. Most people have a hard time recovering from this on their own just because it's so hard to dose your exercise and activity level. So I'd see a physical therapist.
Okay.
And someone who specializes in orthopedics or sports, who deals with Achilles tendon problems. But getting the right amount of stretching, you know, how much to stretch, how often per day, how intense, the right strengthening program, you know, eccentrics, concentrics, all that, putting that in the context of everything else you do in your day is really important and usually requires some guidance.
Yeah. Frankie, if you decide to go in, if you can bring in the footwear that you commonly use, could also be helpful for the therapist, maybe give you some recommendations and suggestions too.
All right.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for calling. And on to Tom in Waupaca next. Hi, Tom.
Hi there. How are you?
Good.
I have a question. I've had a sciatic or something. It's on my buttocks. It goes down to my down to the knee, just below the knee, and I've had this problem now probably for a good 6 to 8 months. Ibuprofen seems to relieve it for a short while, and I'm just wondering: is this something that sciatic just is going to create that problem for a long while, or what could be done to correct it?
Well, it sounds like you are describing what sciatica can be, and that is pain starting in the buttock area and kind of where our sit bone is and going down below the knee. Tom, any numbness or tingling with this at all?
No, just basically a pain like a toothache, I guess.
Okay,
Like that.
Yeah, and any weakness, you know, stubbing your toes, tripping over things that's unusual for you?
No, in fact, walking gives me no problem at all. My biggest problem is when I'm sitting.
Okay.
Like if I'm driving for a long distance or something like that, or in a plane.
Right.
Last fall, I did a trip overseas, and it was I was taking ibuprofen like M&M.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, a couple things. The sciatic nerve can get irritated at two places. One is in the sciatic notch, which is in that buttock area, and sitting can cause local pressure in that area. And the nerve irritation can also be coming from up in the lumbar spine, that low back area. And what you described as worsening with sitting is pretty classic, pretty typical, and then feeling somewhat better when you're walking. 6 to 8 months, if time by itself was going to take care of this, it should be gone by now. And for that length of time going by, I'd recommend seeing a physical therapist. They can examine you. There are some exercises that are designed specifically to get the pain up out of the leg, and that we need to get the pain to move up the leg toward the buttock and toward the back area. And then once that we're successful with that, then we come back to the question, well, why did this begin in the first place? Are there some activities or exercise we can give you to make sure that doesn't come back again? But the fact that you get short-term relief with the non-steroidals means it's not acutely inflamed, grossly inflamed, so this could be a good time to go in and be examined.
Okay, now I've talked to my doctor, and he's going to give me an MRI. Will that show anything, an MRI?
Well, it might. It might and it might not. But really, you could start the therapy at any time. In most cases, the initial therapy program is not going to be impacted significantly by what they might or might not find on the MRI. I think the sooner you get started an exercise program to get the pain out of the leg, the better. So MRI might come up with an explanation as to why, but bottom line is you got to get rid of that leg pain, and there are some specific ways to do that.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for calling, Tom. And we'll take some more calls. By the way, we have an open line or two. We can get you on at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. And Christy is up next in Madison. Hi, Christy.
Hi. I have a problem where lately when I'm reading or I'm sitting at a table with my elbows up on the table, I'm having my hands and my lower arms go completely numb. And I don't remember any injury or anything like that, but it's both hands.
Hmm. Arms fall asleep.
Wow.
Christy, you still there?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. Is it your entire hand? Is it your pinky, your small finger, your thumb or index finger?
It starts with the thumb and the index finger and my second finger.
Okay.
And eventually, if I, even sleeping sometimes, it'll go completely numb, but it'll go all the way up to my elbow.
Okay. All right. How long have you had this going on?
Probably just in the last month and a half.
Okay. When you get off your elbows or you wake up and move, how quickly does it go away?
It usually takes about 5-10 minutes.
Okay, so a few minutes.
And one of my arms, I do have problems with a slight lymphedema, but that usually doesn't cause any problems, and it's both arms that's doing the numbness.
Okay. All right. Well, when people describe numbness, we worry about the nervous system. Sometimes decreased blood flow can cause tingling and numbness as well. But usually if it's blood flow, pretty quickly, I mean, within a minute or two of changing positions, moving the arm, moving the leg, it goes away pretty fast. One of the more common conditions that can cause numbness and tingling in the hands are carpal tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
But also because it's both hands, I also would want to maybe think about your neck, your cervical spine. Problems there can also cause numbness and tingling in both hands. Any injuries to your wrist or hands or your neck?
Not that I'm aware of. No, no.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess my recommendation would be is, you know, generally when it comes to numbness, we don't want to mess around with that. I would see your physician.
Okay.
Have your physician, you know, just give him a real detailed history, how long it's been there, what part of your hands, and what activities. The lymphedema may or may not be a factor with at least that one side, but that's where I would start.
Okay.
All right.
Stage.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for calling. And Bruce in Sauk Prairie, we're up to you now. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. Hey, I wanted to know some short-term and long-term relief for, and just moving up from the bottom of the foot about on the backside of my left leg, about 8 inches up, that tendon or whatever it is there, it connects the back of the leg to the heel area there. I've got a section about an inch and a half that's swollen. It causes me a lot of pain when I first get up to walk and things like that. I've had one doctor tell me that one way of relieving it would be to stretch that at night by tying my toes back to my calf to try and get some relief of that. Have you heard of that before?
Yep, that's essentially a night splint. We talked a little bit about those earlier. So the same night splint that you use for plantar fasciitis can be used for Achilles tendonitis, and that sounds like what you have. And it sounds like you have a nodule. The Achilles tendon glides in a sheath that's lined with fluid. And just like kind of a bubble on a tire, you can get a weakness in that sheath, and the fluid kind of pushes out and you get a little nodule on your tendon. And it's just a sign of long-standing inflammation and pathology in that tendon. So long-term relief, yes, a night splint would probably help you a great deal. Wearing a heel lift in your shoe, and you should lift both heels, not just one, so that you stay level the rest of the way up your leg. Some specific stretching for your calf. And like I said a little bit earlier to Frankie, that dosing the exercise in an Achilles tendon problem can be tricky. So seeing a physical therapist for a couple of visits to get some directed stretching, some specific strengthening exercises, and a strengthening progression to help deal with that would be good. So mm-hmm. the night splint, some stretching, some strengthening.
All right.
Good. And that's what it sounds like. Is that I have that nodule, like you talked there. It's actually swollen in that one area.
Yep.
You can actually see it and feel it.
Yep, exactly.
Good
okay,
luck.
Thanks so much.
You betcha. Good luck.
And Ruth in Wrightstown, on to you now. Hi, Ruth.
Hi, how are you?
Well, pretty good. Thanks for calling. What can we do for you?
Well, my husband has a fractured ankle. He's been wearing a walking boot for about 2.5 months. He refuses to go back to have more, looked at this point. What will happen if he doesn't go back for more treatment?
Hard to say. So does he know if his fracture is healed?
Probably it hasn't, given the fact that, it's been 2.5 months.
Okay, well, but he hasn't gone back for follow-up since he was originally seen?
Exactly.
Oh, well, what will happen? My goodness. All kinds of bad things can happen, or nothing can happen. It kind of depends upon him and the genes he was given. But if he's good and he's got good healing, he could go on and heal just fine and be okay and work his way out of the boot. That would be the most optimistic course. The pessimistic course would be that he doesn't heal sufficiently and he doesn't follow the doctor's advice and he puts too much weight on it or he spends too much time on his feet and his fracture doesn't heal. And he goes on to have a non-union fracture, which will give him pain probably for the rest of his life. If he starts walking abnormally because the fracture's not healed, he can wear out his joints from his ankle to his knee to his hip to his back, and you end up with all kinds of problems. Then you're calling us every month with a new problem.
Yeah.
So he really should go back and have it looked at so that he can be progressed.
Yeah. This is what I've been recommending, but to no avail so far. So I thank you for your information.
No problem.
You're welcome. And get him in.
Yeah.
Get him in there. John in Milwaukee, your turn. Hi, John.
Hi there.
What can we do for you?
For a couple of years now, I've had numbness, not really numbness, but more of a soreness and an achy feeling in my hands. Starts off in the morning, and it's most severe in the morning, but it lasts pretty much throughout the day. And I find myself kind of stretching my fingers and rubbing the webbing area between the knuckles, and it feels really good to do. And it kind of extends into the rest of my arms a little bit, but not too much. It's mostly in the hands.
John, is it both hands or one hand?
Both hands.
Both hands. Okay. And it sounds like it's in multiple web spaces, or is it just by one knuckle?
No, it's pretty much the whole hand. It's really achy. It feels to me almost like a circulation problem.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll sort of massage my wrists, try to force blood up into my hands a little bit, and it tends to cause some temporary relief.
You bet. All right. How long has it been around?
A couple of years. Not sure exactly. I just kind of learned to deal with it and didn't think it was too serious. But
okay. All right. Have you seen a physician for it along the way?
No, I have not.
Okay. All right. Well, that would be my recommendation. It sounds like you've managed fairly well, but also sounds like it's not going away either. And when there's when both hands are involved and potentially multiple joints, like you're talking about the knuckle joints, sometimes there can be, it could be circulatory in nature. It could be an inflammatory arthritic condition as a possibility. But a physician could help you sort that out pretty quickly and then decide on either, okay, there's nothing you have to worry about, just keep doing what you're doing, or maybe there is a course of treatment that can, one, either stop this in its tracks or make sure it doesn't progress for you. Because there are certain conditions that are progressive, and the sooner you get them treated, the better. So that would be my recommendation, John.
All right. Good luck. Thanks for calling, John. And Cheryl in Boscobel, on to you now. Hi, Cheryl.
Taking my call.
Sure.
I walk 12-hour shifts on cement for the first thing. But the last 2 months I've had a lot of pain in my right hip, and it radiates down to my knee. Tried the new shoes because you have to wear steel toes, which I have not found to be very comfortable, expensive or cheap, either one. My chiropractor suggested physical therapy to stretch the muscle that comes from my right hip to my knee, and I'm just asking if that's what I should start at.
Well, that sounds like a reasonable place to start. For me, having a good evaluation to figure out why you're having problems on one side. It seems to be just the one side.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, you're walking on cement for 12 hours, which isn't a good thing.
Right.
But if so, why aren't you having symptoms on your right side if it's just from walking on cement?
That's what I was wondering, too.
So someone who could take a look at you, you know, from stem to stern, you know, looking at your back, looking at your pelvis, looking at your leg length, looking at your feet, looking at your muscle strength, and then talking to you about what you do during your day. Sometimes you may be walking, but what you stop and do along the way puts more load on one side than another, the way you carry things or push things or pull things, and that may account for why you're having symptoms on one side.
Okay.
But I'd want to take a good look at you to see if there's some mechanical reason why you're having symptoms on one side.
Okay.
And then once that's been cleared, if it looks like it's an issue of tightness, then certainly some stretching exercises. And those are almost always combined with strengthening exercises for those hip muscles.
Because
what we find often, particularly in women, is weakness in the hip rotator muscles, and that sets you up for all kinds of problems from your back all the way down to your feet.
I have a hard time keeping my lower back in.
Yeah. So
that might be.
So a fairly comprehensive program working on your core strength, pelvis, hip, and looking at your posture and some of the mechanics, I think would give you the best shot at long-term relief, especially if this is going to be your vocation.
Okay, thank you for taking my call.
All right, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate it. Lori Tyne Brody, senior physical therapist at the UW Sports Medicine Center, one of our guests. The other, Bill Boyce, an alt associate professor in physical therapy at the UW Medical School. I'm Larry Mueller. Cynthia Schuster, our on-air producer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking physical therapy issues today with Lori Tyne Brody and Bill Boisenault. Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you listening in. Before we get back to that topic, though, I want you to let you know, at least, that you can join me for a live broadcast and a fish boil in Door County. That's coming up on July 24th. We'll be broadcasting live from the Peninsula Players Theater in Door County. It's a beautiful building. And we're really, really looking forward to having a good crowd and a great crowd. We're hosting a shuttle bus with pickups in Oshkosh and Appleton and Green Bay to help you get to the broadcast. And I tell you what, for more information, you can call 920-465-2502. That's 920-465-2502. And you can also go online to wpr.org/Door County, and you'll get some information from there as well. But it's July 24th, so if you're in the area, I hope you'll stop by and say hi. Come a little early. We'll start at 11, but, you know, get there early, and we'll chat a bit. And afterwards, we'll go to a good old Door County fish boil. Looking forward to it. And looking forward to seeing you there. And now let's get back to our callers, and Kim in Menominee Falls is up next, so let's go to Kim. Hi, Kim.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
I am calling because my husband is too proud and stubborn to call. About 5 years ago, he injured the L4, L5 discs in his lower back. And he had two bulging discs, and then the disc degenerated. He was in the Navy, and they put in two brand new titanium discs about 3 years ago for the L4, L5.
Okay.
And right after the surgery, I mean, after the pain from the surgery healed, he was doing fantastic. And now, over the past, I don't know, probably year and a half, 2 years, it's like slowly going downhill again, and he has such pain in the morning. It's like he can barely moves.
No.
And I'm guessing it's probably some type of arthritis or something set in there. But he is, you know, a military guy, proud, and is just convinced that there's nothing you can do. It's going to be like this forever. Mm. And, you know, I'd like some type of suggestion or, you know, go to the doctor or, you know, something that maybe can encourage him to do something. I'm convinced, you know, with some type of, you know, exercise or stretching or physical therapy or something that, you know, hopefully he can get better.
Right, yeah. Right. Well, you know, there are some people who do have chronic back pain, and it is not going to go away. But most people can certainly improve and minimize the way it interferes with day-to-day activities. You know, with your husband's history of the disc replacement surgery 3 years ago, it could be that he's developed some problems at the disc level above would be the L3-4 area, or potentially the disc replacement area. It's, you know, it's a relatively new procedure.
Right.
And, you know, it's great that he had such a good short-term, you know, the first year and a half response. But, you know, I guess where I would start is if you can convince him to maybe see a local surgeon who does the disc replacement procedure.
Well, see, the problem is that in the civilian world, at least a couple years ago, they don't do multiple-level disc replacement. They will only do one.
Right, right.
And in the military world, they can do whatever they want.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
And they've done, you know, two. Like I said, the L4 and L5 discs were replaced.
Yeah.
And that's the problem that we're having is most doctors say, wow, I've never done this. I've never seen this.
Okay.
You know, kind of a deal.
All right. Well, then there's a way to approach it. If you've seen somebody recently, if you've seen a surgeon somewhat recently, and he's been told that disc replacement area is fine and the disc above is not a problem, then what I'd recommend is seeing a physical therapist and see what they can do. You know, there's a lot of times we make a lot of headway with stretching and flexibility through the hips along with the core stabilization exercises, and the goal is to take as much pressure off that low lumbar area as possible. Sometimes modifying somebody's sleeping position or a different kind of mattress can make a big difference how somebody feels first thing in the morning, which is critical. I mean, that sets the stage for the entire day.
Absolutely. Don't I know it.
Yeah.
So that would be the route I would take, is if you're sure that the disc replacement area is fine, the hardware is fine, and the level above is fine, then I would see a physical therapist. And it doesn't mean he's going to be seeing a therapist for months and months and months. Just a couple of visits will allow the therapist to know, can he be helped from that perspective or not?
Right. All right. Thank you so much.
All right.
Good luck.
Thanks very much for calling. Good luck. Oh, boy. Jeff in Waukesha will turn to you next. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a two-level problem. When I sleep at night, I sleep on my side, and after a couple hours, the pain gets intense in my hips, and I have to flip to the other side, and I end up wobbling back and forth all night long. And the second problem is I also get intense cramps in the arch of my feet, and my shins, and my calves at night. And I'd like to know, I've been increasing my intake of water. Other than that, I don't know what else to do.
Okay. So, Jeff, is it your sense that these two problems are connected, the hip pain at night and the cramping?
Yeah, I don't know if they're connected or not. I'm kind of wondering about that.
Okay. How long have you been having these problems?
Well, I had a microdiscectomy, and a year and a half later, I had a three-level disc replacement infusion, and ever since then, so about a year.
Okay. Well, the low lumbar problems and the surgical procedure could be accounting for both the symptoms, the hip pain as well as the cramping in your lower leg. So when was the last time you saw the surgeon for a follow-up?
Well, it'd be probably 3-4 months.
Okay. And were you having these problems back then?
Yeah, I've been having these problems, you know, ever since.
Okay, all right. So your physician's aware of that.
Right.
All right. Have you seen a physical therapist at all?
Well, not since my rehab from my
cervical fusion.
Okay. Well, if you haven't seen a physical therapist in the last 3 to 4 months, I would go see a therapist. They could help sort out, is the hip pain related to the surgical procedure or not? Is it a separate issue? Sometimes the hip problems can just come from the mattress being way too hard, way too firm, and then it causes soreness over the trochanter, the bone on the side of the hip. Sometimes that hip pain can be coming from the low back area. So they should help be able to sort that out, and also help see, is there any kind of exercise or activity that may make a difference in both areas. But that's what I would recommend at this stage.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you for your input. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks
good
for
luck.
Going. Yeah, good luck. Jenny and Tomahawk, on to you now. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, and thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a problem with my feet, but it is not when I'm walking on them, it's when I go to bed at night. They, in the first place, started all maybe 4 years ago when I was doing a lot of walking in Florida, maybe with barefoot on the beach or with maybe sandals or cheap tennis without much support walking on the pavement. And they started to hurt, and then I came home, and it wasn't so bad. But then the next year, the pain was so bad. In my toes, it is, like where my toes connect to my foot.
Mm-hmm.
And my foot seems to be wider there than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I used to have spread my toes like a hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could spread my toes really far, but I can't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel fatter.
Mm-hmm.
They don't look fatter, but they feel like they're too close together. And
mm-hmm.
they keep rubbing each other because they're closer together than they ever were before. The feeling that I have in my toes is that someone smashed, like if you have bread dough, you know, and you take it and push it down, it spreads.
Uh-huh.
That's how my feet, particularly,
okay,
just not actually in the ball, but
okay,
between, like under my toes where they connect to my foot.
Okay.
And when I go to bed tonight, at night, it gets really, really painful.
All right.
Okay. So when you're just at rest at night. Okay.
Mostly.
Okay.
Sometimes in the day they bother me, but you know, it's not like.
Yeah.
Sure. All right. Well, what an interesting description you provide.
Yeah.
I love it. Walking, you know, barefoot on the beach for long periods of time, walking in shoes without good support can wreak havoc with your feet. So it sounds like you're having problem with the arch of your foot, not the long arch, but the horizontal arch that's up by your toes. And a couple things can go on. That arch can collapse, which may be why it feels like it's wider and it's kind of come down in the middle. It should be an arch, like a bridge, from the big toe over to the small toe. So the middle part should be raised. So it could be that arch has collapsed. It could also be that you have a little neuroma in there too, and that while you're walking during the day, there's enough room. But when at night, when you take your weight off of your feet and your toes kind of come back together, that you're putting pressure on a neuroma. So that's another possibility of things that could be going on. So in either case, have you seen anyone for it?
No, I haven't.
I'd probably start off with your physician.
A regular
podiatrist. I think you could go either way. Just to take a look at it, because it's both your feet again, to rule out anything else that might be higher up or systemic. And then take a look at it and see if they can find the cause. Perhaps you need an arch support there in the metatarsal arch. Maybe if you have a neuroma, you'll need a specific orthotic for that. But finding the original underlying problem and then going forward with your treatment after that. So I think I would see mm-hmm. someone, either your regular physician or podiatrist.
Could you tell me what a neuroma is?
It's an inflammation of a nerve. You have nerves that pass down between those toes. And as you noted, there's not a lot of room there. So if you start getting like an inflamed nodule on one of your nerves, it can create a lot of pain in that part of your foot.
Well, that's sure going on.
Yeah, I could hear that. I could hear that. But it's been going on for quite a while, and it's not going to go away.
It's not going to get better or anything.
Well, it would have by now.
Yeah, not by itself.
So it is set up shop. So why don't you get a little help, see if you can move it on out.
All right. Thank you very much.
Jenny.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Someone wondered if cracking your knuckles causes arthritis. Bill?
Well, if you crack your knuckles a lot, and that can lead to some overstretching of the capsule and ligaments supporting those joints, the knuckle joints, that can lead to some laxity. And over time, that could potentially lead to some joint irritation and the joints breaking down. So it's not a usual cause of arthritis, but it can certainly lead to some laxity and some problems at those joints. So once in a while is not a problem, but people who do it, you know, dozens of time a day, just like somebody who cracks their neck or low back dozens of time a day, you can set yourself up for some problems developing.
All right. Thank you very much for that answer. And thanks, everybody, for listening in. We're talking with Lori Tyne-Brody, senior physical therapist at the UW Sports Medicine Center, and Bill Boisenault, associate professor in physical therapy at the UW Medical School. They will be with us right up till 12:30 here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're taking up physical therapy issues now on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. So if you've got a problem with an ache or a pain or a sprain or a strain, I hope you'll join us. Larry Mueller here and my guests, Bill Boisenault, associate professor in physical therapy at the UW Medical School, and Lori Tyne-Brody, senior physical therapist at the UW Sports Medicine Center. And I know we've got some questions about leg cramps and some questions about physical therapists and what they do and how they best do it. You may have some questions as well. I know there's a question also about exercise. Would exercise make arthritis worse, or would it actually help? That's another question. And your question is ready to be asked and answered at 1-800-642-1234. Or in Madison at 263-1890. We'll be back with our guests right after this look at the news. Stay with us. Taking a look at physical therapy issues, all those aches and pains and sprains and strains that can befall us. Lori Tyne-Brody and Bill Boisenault, our guests today. Lori with the UW Sports Medicine Center. Bill, professor, associate professor at the UW Medical School, really glad to have them by. And they come by every month to talk with us. Join in at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. And let's turn to Tom in Stoddard now with a question. Tom, hello.
Hello, yes. I had the gentleman that had the lower leg cramps problem, I was having the same problems, and my chiropractor told me to drink more water, and I did, and it helped somewhat, but didn't really solve the problem until I happened to hear about alpha lipoic acid being good for nerve damage, and I think I may have heard that on the People's Pharmacy on Wisconsin Public Radio. Yeah. And I started taking alpha lipoic acid, and it has made a world of difference. And I could even feel like my muscles were going to be going into a cramp, and when that would set up, it was just like almost a spasm at times. And that one way for people to remember the name of that product is the lipids are fats, and this is alpha lipoic acid.
And where do you get that, and what form do you take it in?
It's available in 100 milligram tablets or 300 milligram capsules, and I've been taking about 300 a day. If I have any extra problems with tendency to cramp, I'll up it just a little bit, take another extra 100. But I get mine at the People's Food Co-op in La Crosse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Alpha lipoic.
Yes.
Yeah, it sounded like that was the ticket for you. I'd, you know, and I'm glad that you found your ticket before people take anything like that or like this, make sure they clear it with their physician.
Yeah.
There's times that things you buy at a health food or a co-op generally are good for people and are relatively safe, but sometimes they can interact with medications that people are taking and really get them into trouble. And the leg cramping at night can be related to lots and lots of different things, kidney problems, vascular problems. Sometimes it's just dehydration. And so, again, working with a physician closely to make sure that they get what's best for them, the best treatment for them.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Tom. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Greg in Sturgeon Bay, we're on to you now. Hi, Greg.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, and thanks for the program.
Sure.
I've got, I guess you would describe it as varicose vein midway through my lower leg in front of my calf. I'm 50 years old, very active, cycling, running, swimming. I've been wearing a compression stocking that seems to keep it down. I've been told the procedure to repair that is going in and blocking off the vein, but I've also read numerous things and talked to people that it may just come right back. So my question is, rather incurring the expense of the procedure, should I just continue to wear the stocking?
Varicose veins are not things that we typically see in a physical therapy clinic, so this isn't my area of expertise. So I would talk with the surgeon who's talking about doing this with you and find out the prognosis. You know, what percentage of people does it come back? What are the risk factors that make it more likely to come back? Are there predictors that can help me sort out what my likelihood is for this coming back? These are the things that I like to do. These are the things that are important to me in my life. You know, what can you tell me about sorting this out? You know, and then also talking with the surgeon about the prognosis following this. Are you going to be able to get back to the things that you want to do? Are there any problems associated with delaying the procedure? For example, if you delay it to a certain point, then does it make it harder? Does it make it a riskier surgery? Does it become more involved? Or what are the factors that suggest that it's time for surgery? For example, for people who are having joint replacement surgery, really the determining factor is when the pain levels become unbearable and the bad days outnumber the good days. That's when you have that procedure done. Other than that, there's no harm in waiting. So I don't know enough about this problem to be able to say that delaying it indefinitely is an okay thing to do. I would have that discussion with the surgeon.
Okay.
But those are the kinds of things I would ask.
Good luck. Thank you very much for calling. And another caller from Sturgeon Bay is Scott. Scott, hello.
Good morning.
Morning.
I guess good afternoon.
Yeah.
I'm a physician. I'm an ER physician, and I just wanted to call to sing the praises of physical therapists. I don't think you can probably toot your own horn in good conscience on the radio, and yet for those of us who practice medicine, well, I'll just speak for myself. For myself, my experience has been that if you've got a musculoskeletal problem, other than a systemic disease that is due to an inflammatory systemic condition affecting multiple joints or tissues at various spots in the body simultaneously and chronically, other than that, physical therapists are definitely the people you want to see to get useful and practical information and treatment. As physicians, we go through a huge, long, arduous process of training, but it's very broad, and as a family practitioner or an internal medicine physician or an ER physician, we learn a lot of different things about a lot of different things. But physical therapists learn about the musculoskeletal system, the nervous system, and to a lesser degree, but also including the vascular system, and how they work to move your body and keep it moving. I mean, that's a kind of a gross oversimplification, but it's also, I think, fairly appropriate.
Pretty accurate.
And, it is, yeah.
You know, you need to go to your doctor to make sure that that's all the problem. I shouldn't say all the problem is, that that's an appropriate course, and make sure you don't have rheumatoid arthritis or, you know, some systemic illness. But once that's been done, and this I would also include, I'm going to make a generalization that may tick some people off here. My experience is that most orthopedic surgeons go to, into orthopedic surgery because they like to do surgery, and they spend 5 years in an orthopedic surgery program up late at night working their butts off to learn how to do surgery, how to care for broken bones, fix them, how to replace joints. And it is centered largely around surgery and around procedural skills that, and they tend to be, and this is a generalization that isn't always applicable, of course, but they tend to be less interested in the post-operative rehab program and the specifics of how to accomplish that. They all appreciate the importance of it, but they don't have a lot of interest in specific exercise programs and what is a subtly better exercise program than another one. And the physical therapist, that's, I mean, you guys get magnificent training. I've had several friends who are physical therapists, and you know way more. And I don't know you guys. You guys know way more about the musculoskeletal system and how to make it work well than any other field of medicine. So I encourage listeners to talk to their physician, make sure that that's where the problem lies. But if you take, for instance, the gentleman who called at the beginning of the program relatively early about costochondritis, right. 98% of the physicians you see, if you use that term, I hate that term because I don't know what tissue's involved. I know it's in your chest wall. I think it's a garbage bucket diagnosis myself. And unless you've gone through a very detailed physical exam aimed specifically at your chest, there's no way to know exactly what tissue it is.
Right.
And we're trained to throw non-steroidals at it. We try this one. If that one doesn't work, we try that one. If that doesn't work, maybe we'll try a third one, and maybe we'll go to prednisone. And then we kind of throw up our hands and say, well, you know, I don't know. Go to your physical therapist. They're the guys who can help you.
Well, thank you very much, Scott. And it's interesting that your area of practice is the ER. There are more physical therapists who are being to work in the ER because of the acute musculoskeletal injuries that come in or sometimes the wounds that come in. And so the PTs are working very closely with the ER docs and personnel in that setting.
Yeah, that's very nice. So thank you. Thank you for those kind words. Yeah.
Very nice. Thanks again, Scott, for calling. So listen to the doctor. here's an email that I wanted to get in from Tosh, and has an old fracture of my pelvis from playing soccer. My coccyx is turned under. If you were to look at a side profile of my spine, it turns in toward the front versus out. I've been told this is from landing on it too many times over the years. I played soccer my entire life through college and after. Currently 5 months pregnant and finding as I gain more weight, the pain increases and sitting is very painful. I work 12 plus hours a day and have a special chair to alleviate the pressure, but it does not seem to help. Is there anything I can do to strengthen and prevent the area from getting more and more pressure and pain as I put on more weight?
Well, I don't think so much strengthening necessarily if, in fact, it's a positional or a structural problem. And I'm not quite sure what the chair looks like, but there are cushions that are designed to take pressure off the tailbone. And basically, there's a cutout area where the coccyx would sit when you're sitting, and the weight is up through the sit bones underneath the hips. And that can be very effective to minimize pressure directly on the coccyx. I've had some patients take two hand towels, roll them up tight, and tape them into a roll. And when they sit, they put those rolled up towels underneath each sit bone, which again does the same thing as that cushion. It just keeps the pressure direct off that coccyx, that tailbone directly.
Yeah, so if the problem is the result of putting pressure directly on our tailbone, I think that's a great great idea. I would support that 100%. I'd also think about a regular exercise program. I don't know if she's exercising now, but something in the pool would be really good for her, a non-weight bearing supported by buoyancy to help keep everything strong prior to labor and delivery.
Yeah, and also, you know, there are some physical therapists that specialize in pelvic pain and in women during pregnancy. And so there may be, again, one of those therapists will do a specific examination of that region and maybe it'll come up with some other ideas as well.
All right. Thanks for that email. Here's another email from Kristen. I sleep on my side at night and often wake up with lower back pain. I'm sure this is due to my mattress. It had seen better days. What do you look for in a new mattress? That's a good question. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a very good question. We've had that question in the past, and it's something like buying a pair of shoes. I mean, the mattress can be too hard and cause problems. It can be too soft and cause problems, whether we're talking about the lumbar area or the hips. I think one of the things that there are different types of mattresses that kind of form to the body. There are also mattresses that have mattress pads. So you can get a firm mattress, mm-hmm. but a mattress pad on top that gives it enough cushion. You still get the firm contact and firm support, but there's enough cushion. Generally, if it's too hard, when you lie on your side, you'll feel a lot of local pressure on that area called the greater trochanter, the bone on the side of the hip and on the shoulder. You should feel some pressure there, but it shouldn't be real intense pressure. And if it's too soft, the mattress, then it feels like you're laying in a hammock. Basically, you end up in a C curve. It's too soft. There are some places that will let you, well, you purchase your mattress and you have 30 day trial. And that is probably the ideal. You'll know within a week or two whether this mattress is right for you or not. Mm-hmm. Couple more things. If someone thinks a mattress is too soft, you can get a piece of plywood, you know, quarter inch plywood, mm-hmm. and put it between the mattress and the box springs and firm it up somewhat. There are also foam pads you can purchase. If you think it might be too hard, get a foam pad, put that underneath your bottom sheet and see if that makes a difference mm-hmm. for you.
Mm-hmm. Or even a feather bed. It's a very nice combination. Yeah. We have one bed that has a foam with a feather bed on top of it, and that's just a delightful kind of a soft cushion on top of a firm mattress.
Mm-hmm. So there you have it. Dennis and Chitek, we'll give you a chance now. Thanks for waiting. Hi.
Hi, Larry. Good afternoon. About early April, I work in kind of a mechanical field, and I think I was twisting a wrench and in a really odd position, and I did something that injured my the outside of my right wrist, between the kind of the, you know, your wrist bone and about 2 inches forward. And I was thinking, you know, oh, it'll go away and it'll go away. Well, it's still here, and we're now, and I don't know if I sprained something. Every once in a while, if I try to pick anything up that's got any kind of substantial weight to it, I mean, it creates like a stinging sensation right in that joint area. And I don't know what's in that part of the wrist that might be causing that, if it's nerve or something with tendons or whatever.
Is it, when you say the outside, is that your thumb side or your little finger side?
Little finger side.
Okay. Well, there are a number of bones, the 8 little bones that make up your wrist. The good news is that on the little finger side, you're less likely to fracture. There's a little spot on there that has a little hook on it, and you can sometimes fracture that little hook. But after that, you're really looking at soft tissue, ligament, and tendon kinds of things. There's several tendons on that side of the wrist, so you could have strained a tendon. You could have sprained one of the many ligaments that attach all these bones together that allow your wrist to move in the many directions that it needs to in order to get your hand in a position to do a multitude of tasks. So given that this has been going on since April, I would go in and have this looked at. I would start with my physician and rule out things like a little fracture.
Okay.
There, and then go from there. You may want to go to someone who's a certified hand therapist because the wrist and hand is such a complex region, and because it needs to be able to accomplish so many tasks in a variety of positions, working with someone who really specializes in that area is in your best interest, especially if someone who works with your hands as your vocation. You want that functioning well. So that's where I'd start with my physician, and then look for a certified hand therapist after that.
Okay.
In my case, I don't really have a true physician personally other than going to an urgent care center.
Okay.
Would it make a difference if I just kind of jumped ahead of the cart, just tried to go straight to a specialist?
Yeah, Yeah, I think you could do that, and they should be able to sort out the origin of the pain. A good physical exam, even in the absence of a radiograph, can give you probably 85% of the information that you need.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. And Todd in Milwaukee, your turn. Hi, Todd.
Hi, good afternoon. I have a question. I'm experiencing some tingling in my right arm and also some shoulder pain. From a historical basis, about 5-6 years ago, I had lost strength in my right arm and went and had an MRI done. And the recommendation was a removal of, I believe it was C4 and C5, a replacement of those discs. At that time, I opted for the therapy, and everything seemed to be better. Then last year, I was warming up throwing a baseball with my son, and I heard a pop in my shoulder, which I experienced some pain at the right on the head of the shoulder, right by the arm. Unfortunately, there wasn't too much pain other than when I was trying to serve, playing tennis or something of that nature. And then earlier this year, I had a little skateboard incident where I fell on that side or my right arm.
Oh, boy.
And felt the reverberation of the impact through my collarbone. So, I mean, it's not extremely painful, but I have a sporadic off and on tingling. And if I do an overhand motion, I do experience some pain. So I haven't seen a chiropractor in a long time, given the scenario of my neck, nor have I been to a physical therapist. I was just curious as to your views on the subject.
Well, I think the time is right to go see a therapist and have them examine you because, and part of the stories I'm hearing from you, it sounds like there may be two different problems going on, a local shoulder problem and a previous condition in your neck that certainly could have been flared up with either one of the two things that you described, or it could all be related to your neck, but really it sounds like maybe two. And so an exercise program that may be good for your shoulder could be problematic for your neck and vice versa. And so if you see a physical therapist, they can put you on the right rehab program and really walk you through your daily activities and maybe modify some things to minimize the pressure on both your shoulder and your neck. Something that's been going on long enough now and with the different traumas that a good individualized program for you could be a really good thing at this point in time,
yeah.
Todd.
All right. Good luck. Thank you for calling. Penny in Watertown emailed us as at my husband's recent appointment with his neurologist, she suggested he seek treatment for his misalignment caused by Parkinson. She said there's a bed with rollers that go up and down the spine that help straighten the spine. His doctor is in Indianapolis and didn't have any information on it. Have you heard of this treatment, and is there one in Madison?
A bed with rollers that go up and down. I mean, I know there are chairs, massage
right.
chairs, where they have rollers that go up and down your spine, and you can program them to do different kinds of massage on your spine. But a bed that has rollers on it that align your spine, I'm not familiar with.
I'm not either. There could be, but I'm not aware of that.
But if he's got, you know, spinal misalignment and postural problems related to Parkinson's, and that's not all that uncommon, exercise would be probably my first line of treatment to maintain it. It may be that the bed with the rollers and the massage relaxes him enough where it can improve his posture, but then he's going to need the strength to maintain it
yeah.
once he gets
right.
back up and vertical again. So it may be one piece of it, but it shouldn't be the treatment, a standalone treatment.
Right.
Okay. Thanks for that email. Chuck in Westfield, you have a quick question?
Yeah. I do a lot of repetitive lifting, you know, like 60 to 80-pound range, bales of hay, timbers.
Yeah.
And at night, when I go to sleep, my wrists will work their way up to my shoulders, my arms will fall asleep, and my elbows will lock up to where I can't move them. It'd be like a burning sensation if I try to straighten my arm out.
We got to... Got about a minute or so to go on that.
Okay, well, Chuck, if this has been a problem that's been going on for more than a month or two, it seems to be getting worse, not better, I would go in and see a physician and have him examine you. Again, we talked about before, when I hear both arms, the first place I think is neck. Is there something going on in the neck that may set somebody up for having these kinds of symptoms? And burning and potentially, you know, numbness, you need to think about nerves. So certainly physical therapy could be end up being a good thing. but I would start with a physician, especially it sounds like the lifting is part of your lifestyle and vocation. You know, whatever it is, if it's a tendonitis or a neck problem, you don't want to get to the point where it takes months and months and months to resolve.
Yeah, good advice. And Lori and Bill, good advice as always from both of you. Thanks so much.
Pleasure as always. Thank you.
They'll be back in a month or so, and we'll do this all over again. Lori Time Brody, senior physical therapist at the UW Sports Medicine Center, and Bill Boisenault, associate professor in physical therapy at the UW Medical School. They'll be back, and we'll do this again with them. Sorry we didn't get to everyone. Taking a look tomorrow, Jim Packard will be filling in for me tomorrow, and UW System President Kevin Riley will be along to talk about 10 big ideas to improve higher education in the state. And then Russian historian Dave McDonald and curator Melanie Swayze talk about an exhibit at the Oshkosh Public Library featuring Abe Lincoln and Russian Tsar Alexander. Stay with us. Lots in store.